Hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Talk to the Hand podcast. Hello, Jimmy.
Hi, Beth. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Excellent. You are so looking forward to today's episode, aren't you?
I know, but to be fair, I look forward to quite a few of them. But yes, this one will be an interesting one. And when we were doing the research for it, definitely took us down memory lane.
Yeah, it certainly did. And even when we first started talking about doing the podcast, this was one of the suggestions you had from right back then.
Yeah.
And it's taken till now to get something together for it. So apologies for that.
It's okay. I forgive you.
So we're going to be talking about, wow, a mainstay of all our childhoods.
Oh, definitely.
So we'll get straight into the episode. But for now,
let's rewind to the 90s.
Saved by the Bell was an American teenage sitcom conceived by Sam Bobrick for NBC. Originally debuting in primetime on August the 20th, 1989, a Sunday evening, the series was tailored for a younger audience and teenagers. It aired in the United States on Saturday mornings, later becoming the centerpiece of NBC's TNBC lineup.
Saturday mornings is when I remember it from.
Yeah, likewise. And also in the school holidays.
Oh my gosh,
it was every morning.
Yes, yeah, it was. The series revolved around a clique of high school pals and their principal at the fictitious Bayside High School in Los Angeles. While predominantly exploring light-hearted comedic scenarios, it sporadically delved into weighty social topics, including drug abuse, drunk driving, homelessness, remarriage, loss, women's rights, and environmental concerns. Spanning four seasons, the show concluded with its last episode once more during prime time on May the 22nd, 1993, a Saturday evening. Four seasons. It feels like there's more.
Exactly more what I thought.
And the fact that it finished in 93, it must have, yeah, no.
I mean, then we must have watched repeated episodes over and over again.
Over and over.
With memories of goldfish, not remembering that we'd seen them before. Saved by the Bell's appeal extended beyond just children and teenagers, captivating adults as well. The endearing antics of these wholesome teens resonated deeply with audiences, leaving a huge mark on the era. So where did it start? Well, it might come as a surprise to discover that Saved by the Bell originated as an entirely different series titled Good Morning, Miss Bliss. So this show premiered in 1988. The pilot featured Hayley Mills portraying the central character, which was Miss Bliss, but the show's run was short-lived, lasting only 13 episodes on the Disney Channel before its cancellation. Following the underwhelming reception of Miss Bliss, executive producer Peter Engel decided to revamp the concept, leading to the birth of Saved by the Bell.
When Peter Engel embarked on casting Good Morning, Miss Bliss, he recognised that the show's success would pivot on the charisma and dynamics of his student characters, particularly envisaging incorrigible yet endearing Zach Morris. Mark Paul Golosa, after a chance encounter with casting director Shanna Landsberg, secured the role swiftly, his charm and magnetism sealing the deal. And I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So following the selection of Zach Morris, the focus shifted to finding the perfect fit for his nerdy sidekick, Samuel Screech Powers. Goslar himself advocated for Dustin Diamond, deeming him a natural fit for the character. Despite Diamond's age discrepancy, his portrayal won him the role.
Lisa Turtle's character underwent a significant transformation, evolving from a rich materialistic Jewish princess to a more relatable persona when Lark Voorhees was cast. Engel's immediate recognition of Voorhees' suitability for the role prompted a rewrite to better align with her portrayal.
The character of Mr. Gerald Belding underwent notable changes from his initial iteration in Good Morning, Miss Bliss. Dennis Haskins eventually assumed the role, portraying a younger, more humorous version of the school principal, aligning with the show's retooling for Disney Channel. Upon transitioning to Saved by the Bell, Goslar, Diamond, Voorhees and Haskins were retained from the original series, while new characters were introduced to complement the existing cast. Notably, Mario Lopez secured the role of A.C. Slater, originally conceived as an Italian-American John Travolta type, while Tiffany Amber Thiessen was cast as Kelly Kapowski, Zach and Slater's love interest.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, actually, you know, when we were saying about timelines and when we remember watching it, do you remember back in the day, Disney Channel, no one had the Disney Channel.
No.
It was all, you know, if
no
you
one
had
in
cable,
this country.
Okay, yeah, nowhere, no one in this country. So that would be why when we watched it, it was the reruns on Channel 4.
It was Channel 4.
And I'm sure, and it's all coming back on the holidays. you'd watch The Big Breakfast and then after The Big Breakfast, or maybe the other way around.
I don't know, but what I do remember is that it was my little brother who became aware of it first. I think one of his friends was watching it.
Yeah.
And then he mentioned it and put it on. And the first thing that grabs you, and we'll talk about it later, was the theme tune.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth Barclay, initially passed over for her role due to her height, was eventually cast as Jessie, a feminist activist and an academic standout. Additionally, real-life magician Ed Alonso joined the cast as Max, the owner of The Max, the group's frequent hangout spot. However, Alonso's tenure on the show was short-lived, lasting only through the first season. While Miss Bliss unfolded in Indianapolis, Engel opted to relocate the set into California for Saved by the Bell. The age group of the characters also underwent a transformation. While the students in Miss Bliss were 8th grade, the protagonists in Saved by the Bell were portrayed as high school students.
Inspiration for Saved by the Bell's iconic characters came from various sources. Zach Morris, adored by fans, drew inspiration from another high school protagonist, Ferris Bueller. Actor Mark Pogolosa revealed on Jimmy Fallon's show that he borrowed much of Zach's confidence from the charismatic Bueller, including the memorable moments of breaking the fourth wall to address the audience.
A.C. Slater's character found its roots in Vinnie Barbareno, portrayed by John Travolta in the 1970s sitcom Welcome Back, Cotter. Executive producer Peter Engel envisioned Slater as a modern-day version of Vinnie, complete with a leather jacket and streetwise attitude. Interestingly, the character's name, Slater, pays homage to a friend of Engel's son from kindergarten. As for Mr. Belding, his name was a nod to a less-than-favourable acquaintance of Engel's, Richard Belding, an editor he had had to contend with at Universal Studios. Lisa Turtle's name was derived from someone that Engel knew personally, while the origin of A.C. Slater's full name, Albert Clifford, remains a trivia tidbit for fans to uncover.
The theme song of Saved by the Bell was one of the most memorable of all the shows that I watched in the 90s. Composer Scott Gale defied Pete Engel's wishes when he penned the theme song for Saved by the Bell. Despite Engel's explicit directive to avoid any reference to the show's title in the theme, Gale took a different approach. Engel had been adamant about preventing the phrase Saved by the Bell from appearing in the theme tune, instructing his team of composers accordingly.
However, when Gale presented his composition, which explicitly violated the instructions, it stood out as the most captivating and fitting for the show. Reflecting on the decision later, Engel expressed gratitude that Gale had chosen to deviate from his instructions, acknowledging the song being an excellent fit for the show.
See, that could have gone either way, couldn't it?
Yeah, that was a gamble, but it paid off.
But it paid off, yeah.
While enjoying the innocence of a family sitcom, curiosity often arises about off-screen romantic entanglements. So you've got the dynamic of a group of teenagers working together, and that inevitably led to a flurry of romances behind the scenes of Saved by the Bell. Mark Paul Gosselaar candidly revealed the intricacies of the social dynamics, likening it to a high school drama where alliances shifted and jealousy ran rampant. Mm. Could you imagine that? I suppose it's like any group of young teenagers. One minute, their girlfriend or boyfriend, and then they get with them and they get...
Among the cast, perhaps the most notable relationship was between Gosselaar and Voorhees. So we've got Zach and Lisa, which endured for 3 years. However, not all romances were as overt, with Ed Alonso, who portrayed Max, observing the subtle affection between Zach Morris and Kelly Kapowski, characterised by hand-holding and stolen glances.
So, in real life, Zach was a bit like he was in the show, in a way.
One minute he's with Lisa, then he's with Kelly.
So, while many of these relationships were innocent, some encounters became fraught with drama. Mario Lopez confessed in his memoir to dating the actor that played Kelly Kapowski, but struggling with fidelity, attributing his actions to youthful impulsivity. In his controversial memoir, Beyond the Bell, and we'll talk a bit more about that later, Dustin Diamond disparaged Lopez, labelling him a man whore. In retaliation, Lopez recounted Diamond's penchant for leaving nude Polaroids scattered around, revealing a different side to the behind-the-scenes dynamics.
Again, it's the fallouts, the arguments, the... You know, if you think you've got young people growing up within
kids.
That environment...
They were just kids.
Yeah.
Given the youthful energy of Saved by the Bell's cast, it's unsurprising that they indulged in some teenage revelry. Thiessen disclosed that her inaugural encounter with alcohol occurred alongside Gosselaar in Paris during a press tour. Reflecting on his youth, Gosselaar recounted to ABC News his initiation into the time-honoured show business tradition of gaining entry into adult clubs at just 16, leveraging his burgeoning celebrity status. Despite these experiences, he emphasised the cast's responsible behaviour, asserting, "I can't stress how good we were." Even if he does say so himself.
Yeah. High school is often synonymous with questionable fashion choices, and the Saved by the Bell crew was no exception. Few may realise that Gosler, a natural brunette, underwent the rigorous process of bleaching his hair blonde for each season. Didn't know that. Reflecting on this sartorial journey, he humorously remarked years later, "I'm surprised I have hair. I can't believe I have hair now." The ever-evolving hairstyles sported by Gosler throughout the show's run were not just stylistic whims, but stemmed from the cast's belief that each season might be their last. Despite the show's six-year tenure, Gosler explained, "At the end of every season, we all left, we said goodbye to each other, and that's why every season my hairstyle was so radically different."
A.C. Slater inadvertently rocked a mullet, admitting later that he aimed for a Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon vibe, remarking, "I didn't even know I had a mullet." Elizabeth Berkley, grappling with her unruly curly locks, endured a myriad of interventions, from diffusing and flipping to teasing and dousing her hair with copious amounts of hairspray. Reflecting on her styling ordeal, she reminisced, "They diffused my hair, flipped it, teased it, and sprayed it with hairspray. I practically went through a can of hairspray on each show." One of the most infamous and often parodied episodes of Saved by the Bell is Jessie's song. In this episode, Jessie becomes addicted to caffeine pills and eventually has a breakdown in Zach's arms while singing the Pointer Sisters hit, "I'm So Excited." While widely criticised for its cheesiness and unintentional humour, few people knew that this scene was actually originally intended to be more serious, so Jessie's addiction was actually planned to involve speed. But NBC's standards and practices intervened, insisting that the episode be toned down. But the message remained clear. Engel says, "Today when I meet fans of the show, Jessie's song is almost among the first episodes that comes up. No one was making programming for kids like that at the time. It made an impact. It helped them grow up. And I'm still to this day proud to have my name on that episode." So it was never meant to be caffeine pills. It was always going to be something harder.
The NBC standards obviously intervened and thought that would be too much.
Yeah. So like many child stars, the Saved by the Bell cast found themselves in a tough spot due to the contracts they signed. And we've heard a bit of this on other shows that we've covered. So at the time, nobody anticipated the immense success of the show and how far it would go on. Unfortunately, being young and inexperienced, the actors agreed to less than ideal deals, resulting in them not earning nearly as much money as one might have assumed. Gosler admitted, "We made really bad deals, poor deals back then. It is what it is. You move on, you learn. Great experience." So while this perspective may seem optimistic, Gosler has also in other interviews been more direct, stating, "It was a Saturday morning show, it was the first of its kind, and we didn't get paid dick for it." Furthermore, the cast does not receive any royalties from the show's syndication or merchandise sales. Everyone makes mistakes in their youth, but few have to bear the ongoing financial consequences like the actors of Saved by the Bell did.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, but I suppose it's like most jobs, you don't get... You know, if we watch a programme now, it's not... The actors often aren't getting paid for every one. It's quite rare.
So Saved by the Bell attempted to extend its success with Saved by the Bell, The College Years, which lasted just 19 episodes before fading into obscurity.
I remember Yeah. I didn't watch it because I think I was probably getting to an age where I was going a bit past it, but I do remember it.
Yeah. The series also spawned two TV movies, Saved by the Bell Hawaiian Style in 92 and Saved by the Bell Wedding in Las Vegas in 94.
There were some reunions, but they didn't feature all of the cast. In March 2009, NBC's Late Night with Jimmy Fallon initiated a campaign urging the cast of Saved by the Bell to reunite. Fans rallied behind the cause, signing an online petition and expressing their desire for the cast to come together on the show. Eventually, Dennis Haskins, Lartimer Voorhees, Mario Lopez, Elizabeth Berkley and Mark Paul Gosselaar agreed to participate in a reunion. Gosselaar, reprising his role as Zach Morris, appeared on a skit on Late Night on June 8, 2009, while promoting his TNT drama, Raising the Bar. The skit concluded with a rendition of Friends Forever, originally by Zach Attack, featuring Zach on guitar and vocals accompanied by Fallon's house band, The Roots. Tiffany Thiessen uploaded a parody video to Funny or Die, humorously claiming she was too busy to join the reunion. In August 2009, the cast reunited for a photo shoot featured in People magazine. Dustin Diamond was not included in the photo shoot, and this was due to the strained relationships he had with the rest of the cast. Additionally, his image was digitally removed from the 1989 cast photo used on the cover of a People issue, depicting how the cast looked two decades later.
Mm.
And we will talk more about some of the reasons why they might have scratched his image from that later in the episode. The cast reconvened for a Sword by the Bell parody, a Saved by the Bell themed segment on Bukkake, an episode of Robot Chicken's third season. Haskins, Diamond, Gosselaar, Voorhees and Lopez lent their voices to the parody. Gosselaar also provided audio commentary for the episode on the DVD release.
On February the 4th, 2015, the cast made an appearance in a skit on The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon. Haskins, Gosselaar, Lopez, Berkeley and Teeson all participated, though Voorhees and Diamond did not. The skit poked fun at Teeson's real-life pregnancy, Lopez's involvement with Dancing with the Stars and Berkeley's role in the film Showgirls.
So many of the show's cast members were able to move on to bigger and better things. Gosselaar in particular has enjoyed a successful career with roles in shows like NYPD Blue, Franklin and Bash, Pitch and Mixed-ish. Lopez has found steady success, and I think he might be the most successful of the cast. So he's basically a host on reality-based programs like The X Factor and Extra. Mm. He's done really, really well for himself. Teeson currently hosts a cooking series, Dinner at Tiffany's, where she shares the kitchen with various celebrity guests, and she's also done very well for herself. And these examples do reflect on those of the cast who navigated through child stardom relatively unscathed.
Yeah.
However, not everyone had that same fortune. Lark Voorhees, who played Lisa, has long suffered with her mental health, and that's very well documented. Yeah. Meanwhile, although Barclay's career remains active, she experienced one of the most embarrassing screen debuts with the notorious
Showgirls.
So, Beth, what did you think of that film?
Well, not very good.
I thought it was awesome.
I bet you did.
I mean, as a teenager, watching her.
Yeah.
Doing some of the stuff she did in the swimming pool, for example.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, you would say that.
And I wouldn't be a dirty old man because I would have been a teenager at the time.
At the time, yeah. So you're just getting that.
So I just can't watch it anymore. No. But yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? Was it that bad?
Depends what you're into, I suppose, doesn't it?
I remember her pushing the other one down the stairs stuff. Yeah. It was all right, wasn't it?
Despite its initial reception, the film has since gained a cult following, perhaps offering Berkeley some solace amidst the criticism.
The saddest of the Where Are They Now stories comes when we turn to Dustin Diamond, who of course played Screech.
Yeah.
So following the conclusion of the show, he faced significant challenges. His life was in fact marred by scandal. Mm. He released a sex tape, he served a 3-month jail sentence following a barroom altercation and violated the terms of his probation, resulting in another arrest. However, his most notorious action was the publication of his tell-all book, Behind the Bell, in 2009. The book is filled with sensational accounts of drug use, romantic encounters, and other controversial behaviour, yet its accuracy has been strongly disputed by its former castmates. And interestingly, Diamond himself later came out to suggest that his ghostwriter fabricated much of the content, claiming that he was unjustly portrayed. So in early January 2021, Diamond received the diagnosis of extensive stage 4 small cell carcinoma of the lungs. Following one round of chemotherapy in Cape Coral, Florida, he passed away from the illness on February the 1st, 2021, at the age of just 44 years old.
After his diagnosis, he died within a month.
Sad, isn't it?
So sad.
But I also remember, didn't he come over for Big Brother, Celebrity
Big
Brother?
Yes, he had, didn't he?
He was on one of those.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time, that's when a lot of the stories about him were coming out and the stuff he'd been getting up to. I don't think I'd sort of seen anything of it before then.
No.
However, there is a nice little story I'm going to tell you. In 2015, at the age of 65, Dennis Haskins, who played
Mr. Belding,
he achieved a significant milestone by graduating from college with a Bachelor of Arts degree in theatre and speech. Reflecting on his involvement in their beloved television series, Haskins, he's got a lot of nostalgic fondness for the show,
hasn't he?
Noting the unique energy and camaraderie among the cast. So recalling the experience in an interview he gave in 2013, he remarked on the special dynamic shared among the older cast members and the enjoyable atmosphere they experienced while working together.
And as we wrap up on our nostalgic journey through the halls of Bayside High, it's clear that Saved by the Bell holds a special place in the hearts of millions. From its iconic theme song to its memorable characters and storylines, the show continues to resonate with fans old and new alike.
While the cast members have gone on to pursue diverse career paths, their time at Bayside will remain forever a cherished chapter in their lives and indeed ours. And that, Beth, is the story of Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. I love it. Again, I love going down memory lane. And like you say, it was the holidays.
It was a feel-good time when Saved by the Bell was on because it was either the weekend or the holidays.
Yeah.
It was that. It's so funny. It was always so hard to get up out of bed on a school day.
Yeah.
But so easy. So hard to stay in bed when it wasn't.
Yeah. That's so true. And, you know, we've touched on it already, but obviously you've got a cast there of young people and they would have grown up working on the show. Mm. They had their traumas as well.
And we don't know. There are continued to this day to be stories of things that happened on childhood television sets. And obviously we've got no idea, but certainly you could see a real mixed fortunes for the cast that afterwards for the remainder of their lives.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of them have gone on to be incredibly successful. Zach, and see, I'm here using their character name, Zach and AC Slater.
Yeah. Who did you like? Did you like Tiffany? You liked Tiffany, didn't you, Kelly?
Kelly Kapowski, I liked, but I also liked.
Since watching her in Showgirls. Well, don't lie.
I just thought her performance was artistically wonderful. That was the focus of my enjoyment of that film.
Okay.
I just thought her acting was very, very strong.
Okay, good for you.
So that was our recollection of Saved by the Bell. We hope you've enjoyed it.
Jimmy, this is our 40th episode. So it's taken us 40 episodes to do the one that I originally said would be good.
To be fair, you said a few, probably about 39 others.
We got there in the end, didn't we?
We did. I can't believe it's our 40th episode.
No, so good, isn't it?
Yeah, do you think we'll get to the triple digits?
Well, I don't know. That's up to our listeners.
I suppose you're right. It's certainly going quite well at the moment and we're enjoying it.
Share, like and subscribe.
Yeah, definitely do that. And what you really missed out on there was Beth's hands kind of share, like and subscribe in real artistic form there. So well done. You could get a part in Showgirls maybe. Yeah. Showgirls 2. Do you reckon there was a Showgirls 2?
You're going to Google it, aren't you?
I'm going to Google it right now.
As we speak. I so hope there isn't. I don't think Elizabeth Berkley will be in it the second time.
Showgirls 2, Pennies from Heaven.
So you're going to be, that's what you're going to be watching today. Go on. Oh my gosh.
We love looking at the IMDb ratings of things to get a gist, don't we?
We do.
Showgirls 2,
yeah.
Pennies from Heaven,
yeah.
Which is a 2011 American erotic drama film written, produced and edited and directed by Rena Riffle. I want you to tell me what the IMDb rating is.
Well, by your shock, I'm going for 4.
No, lower.
Not like 3.
Lower.
2. No, did 1.
1.8.
Oh my gosh, is that the lowest ever that we've seen?
It got 11% on Rotten Tomatoes and 1.8 on IMDb. That is incredible. Gosh. I've never seen anything like that.
Are there any famous people linked to it?
No, well, it had a budget of $30,000, which is suggesting that it's a relatively independent film. Oh, it looks like the one who wrote it, produced it, edited it.
Did she star in it as well?
She was Penny, I think, from heaven. Wow.
Oh my gosh, I think that is the lowest rating I've ever heard.
Incredible. We're going to have to watch this just to...
You can, I won't.
I'm really interested to know what Showgirls... Showgirls was 5.1 out of 10, which is...
Okay.
Underrated.
We wouldn't necessarily be put off by a 5, would we?
No.
We'd still watch it. But yeah, 1 point.
Anything that's lower than 4, I think, I wouldn't even take the gamble on.
Yeah. But anyway, good. But we got there in the end.
Showgirls original.
He's still going.
That was produced with a budget of around $45 million.
And what was Showgirls 2?
$30,000. And Elizabeth Berkley was paid only $100,000 for playing the lead in the film. Should we look up some more trivia about Showgirls?
No, let's not. Our lovely listeners have got work to do, jobs to do, other episodes to listen to.
Yes, definitely. Okay, well, brilliant. Good to sit down with you, Beth, and talk through Saved by the Bell. We got there in the end of episode 40, so please make sure to listen to the previous 39, or at least 37 of them. And we look forward to hearing you back next week when we'll be bringing you episode 41. But until then,
talk to the hand.